NFL fans, the game is over. Welcome to the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show. Bet above the rest. Only at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Milwaukee. After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 21 seasons. We'll hear from the manager, the players, and the highlights from the game. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Well, hard to get happy after that one. It is a final in San Diego, and the result is certainly not good. An 11-2 Brewers loss here in Game 2. Welcome in, everybody. Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show. And we will bring in our network affiliates here in a little less than 1 hour.
But we've 45 minutes.
Yeah, we've got almost 2 hours worth of Brewers conversation going on, starting now. It's Tim Allen, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and that 11-2 loss. Now, this is one where you got to look at the bright side of things. I learned something today. That's number one.
You can never be too old to learn something new.
That's right.
Yeah.
I did not know when a position player pitches, you can't challenge.
Makes sense, because the team is essentially sacrificing, so why waste extra time?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I never knew that. I mean, I've read the rules, but apparently I missed that part of it. But, okay, so you have that going for you. You also did not burn high-leverage bullpen arms in tonight's game. Everyone should be good to go for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big game. This, I thought, was a big game. This is not a fun loss. You wanted a chance to win the series is what you wanted, and it just didn't happen. Just a runaway game. Those will happen. Kyle Harrison, my biggest concern wasn't that he got shelled. That wasn't the biggest concern, because that is going to happen to everybody. My biggest concern, Stevie, was he didn't get a lot of swing and miss.
No.
And velocity down.
Yep.
Now, it wasn't dramatically down. He was still that 93 range. But here's a guy that earlier this season was going, 95, 96, 97 in a big moment. And now you're going 93 and not much swing and miss, if at all. I thought I read one of the reporters out there had tweeted out that his first 40 pitches, not one swing and miss. That's concerning. That's a little concerning for Harrison.
Well, the other concerning part about all of this is simply that he clearly does not like pitching out west. I think that is very, very clear. There was a post by Matthew S. Today that said, Kyle Harrison, pitching on the West Coast, 16 earned runs in 8 innings pitched. Kyle Harrison pitching literally everywhere else, 17 earned runs and 83rd in an innings pitched.
Wow.
I mean, that's ugly.
So what was it in Vegas?
8 runs and 2 and a third.
Okay. And then in San Diego, did he pitch in San Francisco maybe earlier?
He did not pitch in San Francisco. That was home against the Giants. He pitched in Arizona. That was 2 2/3, gave up 3 runs in 2 2/3 innings in Arizona.
Yeah, and left due to whatever was going on at that time. But, yeah, that's not good. A little concerning for Harrison. So we'll see what maybe Murph has to say after the game or some of the reports and see how he recovers from this 4 2/3 of 8-run ball. I mean, that's wow. And then we finally get to Luis Renjifo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is... I think it's just a prime example of how change of scenery does impact players. It just does. It may not be that he disliked the Brewers and just wanted to be in a better climate or wanted to be out west or whatever it is. That's not what it is. I think it's just a change, just simply a change. That's how really kind of weird baseball is. That something like that, call it superstitious, call it whatever you want. Just the mere change can, flip a switch. I mean, his numbers are amazing. When you look at his numbers in San Diego compared to what it was in Milwaukee, I don't know. Maybe you just didn't like the city. I don't.
Oh, stop. Don't say that. Yeah, you're no, making you never, stuff up. He just didn't like the city. Maybe stop.
Maybe he didn't.
Well, regardless if he did or not, why would he screw himself financially by having a bad year on purpose? Like, no, that's not going to be a
mood.
Thing.
Just being in a bad mood. I don't know. This team, I'm not doing well. I mean, you don't know. My point is, you can't put anything on that. It's just. It happens.
Sure.
And when someone moves teams, you never know what it is. It could just be a feel, an atmosphere. He's closer to family members. Maybe it's, he's never been to the upper Midwest and just doesn't know his way around. It's a comfort zone. He certainly didn't have it here.
No.
He didn't. Whatever it was, he didn't have it here.
Yeah, absolutely did not. Where do you want to go? I've got phone lines. I got people fuming mad on the YouTube chat. I got people fuming mad on the text lines. Where would you like to start with the anger?
Well, I would just like to ask the question. I'll just give you my statement first. I'm a little nervous.
Oh, stop.
I'm not nervous necessarily, but it's starting to kind of wiggle in there just a little bit.
They've given a game back since the All-Star break. One game. That's
Brewers
all.
Are 5-4 since the deadline. Cubs are 7-1. So they've picked up, three games. I mean, they're at 4 now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll turn it around, but at the same time, you need the Cubs to kind of just stumble, just come back down to earth a little bit. Because they're doing their thing. Just a little nervous. I'm not overly nervous. This still a really good baseball team. I mean, they just are. It may not look like it at times. It may not look pretty at times, but they are a good baseball team.
Absolutely.
Should they be better? In my opinion, yes. They should be better. Now, how we get there, that's up to Murph. They don't pay me enough money to get them there. I'm doing everything I can. Look, the Cleet Boyer glove over here is now 5-3.
Ever since we brought up the Euchre connection.
The what connection?
Ever since we brought up that he was roommates with Euchre and their relationship, it's been straight downhill since then.
Maybe.
As soon as we roped Euchre into this, it went straight downhill.
So a little nervous is the way I would define it. This is going to be fun down the stretch here. I mean, if you're not watching the scoreboard yet, believe me, you're going to be.
No.
Oh, you will be.
As
of Saturday, they'll be in the 30s with games left. There's 42 now.
I understand, but I'm not all that concerned about it. Are we ready to go now with the texts and the calls and everything else? I've got a ton of stuff here.
Nicolay Law talking text line at 414-677-1250.
Okay, let's start off with Bird Turgler. That sounds fun on YouTube. Dug out YouTube chat. Offense pulled itself right out of the doldrums. Let's put Hamilton lead off and Bunting Bay second to move him over. Then Yelly can bat third to ground out and get it over with and Terang clean up. What the hell? That's Bird Turgler in the dugout YouTube chat. So that's one extreme. Here, how about another extreme? This one is from Bob in Oak Creek. Who says the Brewers are embarrassing themselves. Going to go from first in the division to possibly out of the playoffs with this display.
Oh, stop. Not out of the playoffs.
Out of the playoffs, Bob in Oak Creek says.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Now they have lost, what, 3 or 4?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's 3 or 4.
From the 262, how about a fun fact for y'all? Renjifo has more RBIs with one swing than the entire season as a Brewer.
Which was a little over 2 months.
Right.
That just is inexplicable. You cannot explain that. Pick one, and then I would buy it.
Sure.
Anything. I mean, he wasn't hurt.
Nope.
Not one report said that man was hurt here in Milwaukee. 414-677-1250. If you want to join the conversation, plenty of time to talk with you guys on the Nicolay Law Talk and text line. We go to Nick. Nick, good evening. What's going on?
All right. Hey, what's up, Timmy? I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet. I'm tired. I got to wake up at 6:30 in the morning tomorrow. Number one, keep Kyle Harrison the hell out of the West Coast. He's been terrible on the road out west. Number two, I hate Luis Rendifo. That Grand Slam was a foul-ass stench in my mouth.
It's a sports hate, yes.
Yeah. It just, I hate it. And then number three, my hand is, it's on the panic button. I'm not ready to push it yet, but it's hot. It's hot.
So, yeah, just because, so by definition, if I told you I was just a little nervous, your definition of where your head's at would be?
I'm not pushing the alarm yet, but my hand's on the button. My hand's on the button, and solely because of the strength of schedule. I think the Cubs got an easier schedule, and the Brewers have a really, really tough. Now, I get it. We have to play the Cubs twice.
Yeah, seven games.
Once at home, once at Wrigley. So I'll give it a little grace there. That's going to be the time to put up or shut up. So, yeah. The other thing I want to add here, and I'm going to head to bed, I'd like to see us call up one of the big thumpers in AAA, whether that's Blake Burke, Luke Adams, or even, I mean, I know it's a long shot, but fast track Andrew Fisher. Mm-hmm. It just give us something, some sort of life, other than, what's this guy, Juhu Bay?
Juhu Bay.
Yeah. Please, come on. We can do better than that.
All right, thanks for the call. Right, appreciate it, Nick.
Juhu Bay, make a play, dude. Catch the baseball. You had a triple play in your mitt.
Cost him a big inning.
You had a triple play right there. Now, to his point, the team does appear to be flat right now.
Yes. And probably dog tired.
And probably very much so. And right in the middle of the dog days of summer. Because this is truly the dog days of summer. By definition in baseball. Right now where we're at. Early to mid-August. So, a spike of energy, as I said, heading out west here, Stevie, I told you that over the weekend. Just a spike of electricity here. Bring up one of those dudes.
Well,
why not?
I'm
you signed Juhu Bay off the scrap heap.
Correct. Yes, that's exactly what happened. I want to bring up the Nashville Sounds here quickly, if you don't mind. Earlier today on the leadoff show, I was playing back Paul Wagner from the Mason Crosby show earlier, and they were talking about Blake Burke going up to Nashville from Biloxi, and then what does that mean then for Luke Adams and
right.
so forth going forward at that moment in time. So I took a gander at the Nashville Sounds lineup, and wouldn't you know it, no Luke Adams in the Nashville Sounds lineup tonight. Blake Burke at first base, Brock Wilkin at third base with a couple of hits. Burke scored a couple of runs with a couple of walks. Frelick was the DH, 1-for-4 with a run scored, but no Luke Adams in the lineup for the Nashville Sounds tonight. And I was, I don't know, I'm doing conspiracy theory, but kind of talking about what might happen here. If they feel like Ortiz is ready to roll again, then baby, out the door you go. Up comes Luke Adams to rotate with David Hamilton at third base, Joey Ortiz at short, Terang at second base, and you roll with that until Cooper Pratt is ready to go at the end of the month.
Assuming Adams is a right...
Correct. Yes.
Is he a righty?
I believe so. I will double check, but I'm pretty sure I looked at this yesterday.
Because then you could truly platoon.
Platoon, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is right-handed. 6'4", 233.
With your offense scuffling a little bit, we do have to break. Want to get your reaction on this and where you're at by definition. I mean, are you a little nervous, a lot nervous? Are you just, I'm just slightly, I guess, little, just a little bit. They're still a really good baseball team. They're feeling it, man. They are. They're beat up. Injuries now really playing a part of this. But, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you guys watch this team as much as we do. They're just feeling it right now. They're beat up, and it's right in the dog day. I mean, come on. So we'll talk more after the break. Nicolay Law Talk and Tax Line 414-677-1250. 11-2, just a blowout and runaway win for the Padres. Now the Brewers trying to salvage a game tomorrow. More on that a little bit later on. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show here as we pick up the pieces of an 11-2 loss. There's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Tim Allen, and we'll be back. We're here in Milwaukee now, and we'll welcome in our network studios at midnight tonight. So stick around, more to come. Okay, we're not going to pick on the offense tonight, or are we?
I don't see how you can't.
They're just flat right now. What? I mean, good gosh, let's go. I mean, come on. You got guys like Bowers and Contreras and Yelich and Terang and Churio. You guys cannot be this bad offensively. Stop. Just get out of it. However you get out of it, I don't know. But get out of it. They will get out of it. But how much damage is done in the meantime?
They had 10 runners in scoring position tonight. They were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position.
You see how they scored the run?
So they were actually better than they were last night.
Yeah, you see how they scored the run, right?
Yeah.
Painfully.
Well, of course. Well, talking about painfully, Bay trying to lay down a bunt. Now, that was painful. Literally, he had his hands wrapped around the bat. Nobody ever taught that dude how to lay down a bunt in his life. There's no chance nobody wraps their hands around a bat with their fingers if you're trying to lay down a bunt unless you're trying to get your fingers broken.
I want to say it was earlier this year or last year.
Of course.
Someone brought it up. Grindle or Maurer or Levering or somebody brought it up. That someone else did have their fingers wrapped.
That's ridiculous.
That is.
There better not be anybody in this organization teaching that crap because you're going to get somebody hurt.
Yeah, I don't understand. I thought a bunt, you keep your fingers behind the bat.
Yes, correct. Yes.
I'm not a ball player.
They teach you that at the lowest of levels. Like, how do you get to the pros and still not know how to hold a bat for a bunt?
Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line at 414-677-1250. Plenty of time for you guys tonight. An 11-2 loss. It happens. I can handle this loss, as you guys know, way better than a 4-3 loss or 3-2 like last night.
Well, they don't send Lockridge. They might have won that game.
See, we don't move backwards. We move forwards. Like Vincent in Anaheim. Vincent, listen. I got some news for you. You there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
more important how you are. Listen, I'm debating. I might be in L.A. in December.
In December? Oh, where about? Like, you're talking about, like, L.A. County or Disneyland, Orange County?
SoFi Stadium.
That's L.A., yeah. I mean, Inglewood. You're Inglewood,
so,
that's cool.
So, can I buy you a beer if I go?
I'll try to, yeah. I mean, you let me know at least, 2 weeks
that
ahead.
That means no, doesn't it, Sparky? That means
2 weeks
no.
ahead, he's got a busy schedule. He's Vincent and Anna, for damn sakes.
I work 3 jobs, so I got 1 full-time, 2 part-time. So, know what I mean? But, to meet you, that's cool. If you're for real, I'm not going to be like, and then ghost you. You know where to find me.
Tim won't ghost you. Tim won't do that.
Find you. If we're going to meet, we'll meet and have a quick beer or whatever. I would like to meet you, man. You seem rather cool.
Yeah, no problem, man. Yeah, I appreciate that. Just let me know how you want to connect, either through DM, through X or whatever, or I do have Facebook and all that too. So
yep, you bet. You bet. We'll work it out. All right, so where's your heads at with your fourth favorite team here, the Brewers?
Hey, no, it's my third. It's my number 3 team, but I root for them regardless. Hey, I go through all the pain, or I go through a lot of pain, the Angels, the Giants, and now, I know y'all going to hate me, but it was Luis Renjifo with that grand slam. I can't believe it, man, because I caught on to the game around the 6th inning. And then I was like, dang, Luis Renjifo got his little revenge game. You know what I mean? You know how little players always got to show out against the team that either traded them or got rid of them. That's just the way it goes sometimes.
They say that these players shouldn't have to be motivated by things. When players are traded, they're motivated to do well against that other team.
We're human beings. And then I heard there's a study or something saying you remember negative words more than you remember positive words sometimes in life, I guess, supposedly. But, you know, I'd rather them go through this struggle right now. But just don't be the 2016 San Francisco Giants. They had a great record all the way to the All-Star break, and then it went downhill from there, embarrassing. So that's all. That's the goal. Nah. I'd rather them go through this struggle right now. Am I panicking? No. If this is September, a little bit.
But remember, that's fair enough. Yes.
We got to act like we, you know, like the Dodgers, I was over here and I mean, they got that 9-game losing streak. They didn't even trip. I mean, there was fans calling in. The guy running that little post-game show over there, he's annoying as hell. I just don't like him. But he's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, I called the first. And then when the game, when they snapped that losing streak, it's because imagine if it was reversed. You had the record the Dodgers have, and the Dodgers had our record, and they.
Gosh. Come on, man. You're a radio veteran, Vincent. You can't be doing that stuff, buddy. You just. I know you didn't do it like maliciously or anything like that.
No, it was just natural. It just came out.
And from my understanding, this show tends to bring it out in people. And I'm not quite sure what it is with you, Tim Allen, but I was forewarned ahead of time from Tommy that this show can get a little crazy at times.
Because they feel relaxed to just talk and be normal human beings.
Normal human beings. What are you saying? Are you saying like people that call into 9 to noon are not normal human beings?
I didn't say 9 to noon. I might have meant 2 to 5 maybe more than anything.
Oh, man. enough of you. Zach, north side of Milwaukee. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. I'm just throwing out this game night. Harrison's been solid all year. He'll bounce back. Not even worried about it in the slightest. What I am concerned about, and this has been going on about a month and a half, two months, the pitching has to be elite for us to win. It feels like every single game, the pitching puts the offense in great position to just do enough. The offense doesn't do anything for the pitching if the pitching isn't elite. Mm-hmm. Like, if the pitching is just mediocre, we don't win games because the offense can't do anything. And it's just, the offense doesn't help out the pitching is what I'm saying.
Yeah, real quick, I'll keep you right here. But real quick, all you have to do to make his point, look at the final scores of that series against the Pittsburgh Pirates and then the Minnesota Twins. You had to win those nail biters, and the pitchers got it done. It wasn't the offense. Go ahead.
We get swept by Minnesota if pitching isn't just going crazy those last two games.
Yeah, you're right.
But my last point I wanted to make, and then I'll hang up. It's not like at the deadline the hitters were hitting and everything was dandy, and now they went to sleep after the deadline. They saw this coming. This has been going on about a month, 2 months. How do you not go and get a hitter that can hit home runs? We're last in the league in home runs, Timmy. Even the bad teams are hitting more home runs than us. It's pathetic, man. Thanks for the call.
That was
good.
You got
it.
You can call back anytime you want. Okay, anytime. So now I don't know what the number would be. He was fired up. I didn't want to interrupt him. But he's like, hey, if pitching has a bad day, we can't pick him up with the sticks, right? So now, to me, a bad day for this staff would be, hey, man, if you give up 6 runs in a game, pitching's off, right? Can your sticks bail you out? So I threw that into the AI meter here or whatever it is. 6 runs or more from their opponents. The Brewers are 4-17 when their opponents have scored 6 or more runs this year. 4-17.
I wouldn't think that's unlike a lot of teams. Probably fairly similar to a lot of teams based on that equation.
All right, you
think?
Well, I don't know. Let's put the Dodgers into it.
I mean, you're not going to win a lot of ball games when your pitchers give up 6 runs.
The Dodgers are 18-31 when allowing more than 5 runs. They're 18-31. So that's not 6, that's 5. So that's the Dodgers, 18.
That's 5 or more.
That's
runs.
5, right? And let's try the Cubs.
Let's. I would think it's fairly similar.
Cubs are 6 runs or more are 8-22. That's double the win total from the Brewers. Right, the Brewers had 4 wins. They have 8
of 17, and they have
8 of 22.
Of 22, right?
Yep. So, either way, but yes, it's still very hard to do. But to his point, you know, they don't really. But bail their guys out.
The crazy thing is, guys, is that you can point to some of the metrics, the run scored, the runs run differential, those types of things, to say that all told, the offense isn't as bad as it looks. However, we live in the minute. We live in the moment.
Yep.
And I who was that? Was that Nick? What was his
Nick.
Name?
Nick, Northside of Milwaukee.
Nick. You're on it. This has been for a little while here. This has been. Their offense has been down for a little bit here. Now, you make the argument that they're hurt. You know, you can make an argument that they're facing some good pitching. I mean, to be a fair side-by-side comparison, I mean, let's take a look at the pitchers that they've faced. But I do think that we all see it. The offense is just struggling right now. That's just the bottom line. Will they struggle for the rest of the year? I seriously doubt it. I just don't see that happening.
I really thought tonight was going to be the night. And people on Twitter are like, you need to eat crow tonight. Yeah, I'll eat crow. I thought they'd score 4, 5, 6 runs against Walker Buehler. And the dude shut him down pitching inside. Like literally damn near 3/4 of the pitches or more were inside on him tonight.
You stay in. Yeah, stay in. But again... I just, they are a better offense than what they're showing recently. But man, I hear you guys. I'm with you. KJ, what's going on before we take a break?
Hi, Tim. Hi, Sparky.
What's up, KJ?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Sparky, yeah, you know, I remember you saying back a few hours ago that you thought that the Brewers had an advantage based on Walker Buehler being on there versus Harrison. And, you know, it's great. On paper, you're absolutely right, but you play the game on the field. And when you give a team, I don't care what team it is, an extra out in an inning, you're setting yourself up to have a problem, and that's what happened tonight.
Well, they scored 2 runs.
Renhipo hitting that home run. The big thing right now is if you can't hit, you're not going to win. Fill in the blank, okay? And so that's what if you're not hitting, you're in big trouble. So that's what's been happening for a while. They refuse to bring anybody up at this point from their farm system, which I think is a mistake. And I think, and God forbid this ever happens, if they lose one of their 3 starting pitchers to injury, they're going to be in more trouble than they're in right
now. Based on the way Harrison pitched tonight, man, I don't know if he's fully 100% healthy.
But wait a minute, Tim. You know, they, you know, you said, you know, the statistics, I don't care about stats. I'm always been a eyeball. And if he can't pitch on the West Coast, what are we doing here? He's going to have to pitch in L.A. at some point in the playoffs, right?
He's one of the top 3, but we could debate whether.
Well, why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't Harrison be one of the top 3?
I would assume, hopefully he is, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, he's got to get over that if there's some kind of
There's a guy named Logan Henderson that would love his number 3 position.
Yeah, well, I know. And how did he do?
Henderson?
How did he do last night?
Damn good.
Damn good, but did they win?
No, they lost. Oh, no, KJ, thanks for the call.
6 1/3 of 3-run ball. Come on. The other thing is you're facing one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. Now, to Nick's point, real quick, and I have to break, think about this during the break. He said this has been going on prior to the trade deadline, right?
Yes.
Could it be that the Brewers decided that we're not going to invest future in this season because of injuries, because what they forecasted with the least amount of home runs, they didn't feel that they had the offense? I don't know. It's something to ponder. Because if they really wanted Scooble, they'd have had him.
Yeah, but they would have had to give up Madej or Henderson or whoever.
No, just enough said. If they wanted him, they would have had him.
Yes, correct. They could have had anybody they wanted.
Anybody they wanted.
Anybody they wanted.
But did they believe in the product here that would put him over the top forcefully? No. I don't know. No. It's maybe something to ponder. I would hate to make that decision every year with this team. Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show after an 11-2 drubbing by the San Diego Padres. We'll be right back. We're talking Brewers baseball late night tonight. Have you thought about it that way? What if you were in that position prior to the deadline, weighing all these options? Best record in baseball or near at that point, I suppose. And you have to say, hey, do I want to just do this?
But that's just the thing. It's not just you, right? So, like, if you're playing fantasy football like you do, and you decide you want to go for it and give up draft picks or give up two or three guys to get a superstar, whatever, that's you. This deal here with Major League Baseball, it's a room full of people all having conversations and trying to figure out what they all want to do, then not to mention the owner being involved and whatever he wants to do at the end of the day. So, yes, technically Matt Arnold is going to make the decision, but he's got a million different opinions coming in and then whatever the owner wants. So Matt may be like, I don't think we're there. And if the owner goes, I don't care what you think, I want to go get a really good starting pitcher, figure it out.
Then he's
got to go do it. If Matt's like, dude, I think we're close, I want to go for it. And the owner's like, yeah, I don't want to take out any more salary, we're not going to do it this year, sorry. Then there's nothing Matt can do. So it's more than just Matt Arnold trying to figure out what Matt Arnold wants. There's so many other people involved in this thing.
I ran into a dude named Ken tonight.
Ken,
yeah.
Where were you?
I was at a band gig in Racine at Village of Elmwood.
Okay.
They're Tunes on Taylor, and it was fun, really kind of a cool, fun event. Anyway, I talked to him, and he's like, he mentioned your name, and, oh, you're back with Sparky, and all that stuff. But anyway, he had brought up bats plural, and at that time wasn't the big talk, I mean, we got to rewind the tape a couple of weeks here, but wasn't the big talk about getting a frontline starter at that time? He was thinking also that, do they think they have the offense? This has been going on here a little bit. This has been happening a little bit. And then way in the background, one of the Village clerks or admin girl yells, Christian Yelich is going to hit on the way. She's yelling as I was walking out the door. She's yelling to me that Christian Yelich is going to do well, into the playoffs. But I mean, all of those factors, they factored in this meeting you talk of.
Yeah.
All the injuries. They project plans A, B, and C at every position. Did they foresee Cooper Pratt and Joey Ortiz both going down at the tail end of a homestand, headed out to a road trip? They scrambled the Jets and re-signed Bryce Wilson this morning. After that, I thought that was a brilliant move. I texted you that. Absolute brilliant move.
I was laughing on the radio when it came across my phone, and I just started reading and laughing. I'm like, okay, so let's everybody follow along how this week has gone so far for Bryce Wilson. And I just read it. I'm just laughing. I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. Like, this is what you get to do if you're a general manager of a baseball team, as far as maneuvering around pitchers and bullpens and all this. And this all comes to the forefront, as Kurt Hoke pointed out on X when this all came out, was Jack Stern from Brewer Fanatic saying, you want a six-man pitching rotation? You got to do crazy crap like this in order to keep the bullpen fresh and do what you have to in order to keep this working so you can save the young arms for the playoffs.
And that's the one benefit about a game like this tonight is that you didn't use your high leverage in a loss.
Correct.
You did not use those guys. So Bryce Wilson elected free agency. I think the plan all along was we're going to DFA you. If you clear, then you're going to elect free agency, then we'll sign you to a one-year deal, major league contract. They need him. They do. And Stern's right. That six-man rotation, you're going one less in the bullpen, folks. That's a big, big thing when your offense can't score right now. Now, will they score? Yes, eventually.
Well, and now you have injury concerns as well, because coming from Kurt Hoke and Adam McKelvey, William Contreras will be sore from being struck on the arm, but that's not the Brewers' chief concern tonight. Bryce Terang has a sprained thumb. Might not be the best time, Pat Murphy said. So if Ortiz isn't ready to come back and you lose Terang, you got to do something.
Trade for Renhifo.
Shut up. Thank God the trade deadline's passed. Yeah. I don't worry about that.
Matt Arnold does miss the waiver deadline. You miss that?
Yeah.
Waiver trade deadline till September 1st?
Yeah, I did like that, yes.
Yeah, I didn't mind that. Yeah, I didn't mind that at all. You probably want to see a few more moves here. But, all right, we'll welcome in our network stations on the other side here. An hour to go as the Brewers fall tonight. Where's your level of comfortability? I say I'm a little nervous. That's about it. Did you expect more?
I expected them to beat Walker Buehler tonight. Yes, I did. I expected 5 or 6 runs. I did not get that.
What would it take? We're going to try and pin down Sparky after the break here. What would it take you to be nervous? Think about that.
All right.
All right, Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. We'll welcome those guys in next here after a Brewers 11-2 loss.
Hey, baseball fans, the game is over. Welcome to the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show. Bet above the rest. Only at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, Milwaukee. After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 21 seasons. We'll hear from the manager, the players, and the highlights from the game. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
It is a final from San Diego, and those results are not good. Welcome in, everybody. Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Tim Allen, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, 11-2 the final. Let's get you guys caught up that have just joined us along the network. And Kyle Harrison will start there with the starter. Ooh, boy. First 40 pitches, didn't get one swing and a miss? Not a one?
No.
He had 26 pitches in the second inning? You had a botched defensive play that did loom large. Now, I'm not going to say that cost them this game. Come on. You're running into the other thing we didn't mention last hour down in Milwaukee was the fact that you are kind of running into a buzzsaw here in San Diego. You are. They're just, you can tell by the energy around that team in these two games. And Harrison paid the price. He's certainly not his best, and we can talk about the West Coast troubles for Harrison. I don't know if geographics has that much to do with it. I'm not convinced. This is just me. I have nothing to go on this. I'm not convinced he's fully healthy. I'm not. And I thought it was just a break originally when they shut him down for a little bit. What was it? Forearm? I think it was a forearm issue. Not an elbow, and everyone was concerned about an elbow. He was one that left via cramps, one of his starts as well. But that's not arm. I just have a sneaking suspicion the arm is just not all the way back yet. So we'll find out. You had a play potential in that 5-run second inning. You had a potential, not only a double play, should have been a sure double play, but a triple play, which, as good old George Bamberger once said, manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, was quoted after a game in which a triple play happened in the game. He said, boy, that can take you out of an inning real quick. Yes, it can, Bambi. And it would have for Kyle Harrison, but he definitely wasn't sharp. He went on for 4 2/3, eight-run ball. And you're not going to win many games if your starter does that. Now, the good news is that you didn't use high-leverage relievers in this one. And you go back at it tomorrow and you try and get something done. But the road trip itself, it's not off to a grand start, guys. The 7-gamer, you call it a big 7-game road trip, or at least I did. It's becoming bigger and bigger. It's becoming a big 7-game road trip for the wrong reason. That's what I'm afraid of right now. So we've been talking also about where your head might be at in terms of your comfortable nature of a 4-game lead now in the division. You still have 7 head-to-head against Chicago.
Yep.
But you have a 4-game lead. There's 42 games left in the 26 championship season. And I'm just a little nervous, slightly nervous.
From the 715 in the Nicolay Law Talking text line, Murph again needs to put Vaughn in the damn lineup and keep him there. Yep. I don't care about the lefty-righty bullcrap. No other teams do that nonsense.
I'm with you.
Murphy's stubbornness on going with metrics and analytics is downright ridiculous.
Other teams do it.
They absolutely do. La Russa did it his whole career.
Yeah, a lot of teams do it. Most teams do it. I mean, there's very few teams that have the plug and play. You know, 8 deep, 7 deep. There's 2 or 3 always in everyone's lineup that they kind of platoon in and out. But I'm with you 100%. You just play Vaughn every day. When your offense is scuffling like this and everything you're doing is not helping, why wouldn't you do that? Because that's the one thing you haven't done yet. And, you know, we'll see. Vaughn got in there at third base, another rep or two at third base. Some injury news as well after this one to get you caught up on that. Bryce Terang, a thumb issue?
Sprain.
How did this happen?
Let me go back and see
what the reporter said.
Yeah, so Contreras got hit by a bat on a follow-through. That's how he hurt his arm. But I think he's okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, McKelvey said it was a sprained thumb. Hoag says it's dealing with a sore thumb. So same thing, I guess. Between that and William Contreras being hit in the wrist by a swing in a 10-run game, it made pulling Jackson Chirios a precaution, a wise call when they did that there in the 6th inning.
So they were just... Well, hold on. They were talking about Bryce Terang's thumb and then said, well, it was a wise call to get Chirios.
Right, because Contreras had already got hit by a bat on a follow-through. Terang had his thumb issue. Well, so they were like, to hell with this. We're getting Chirios out of here before something happens to him next.
Yeah, and you can't... And you see Lockridge went in there. He needs a few reps. He had 2 errors once he went into the ball game. But, yeah, no, I agree. A runaway game, get your guys out. That's pretty standard practice, but you can't take them all out. Someone's got to finish up. Is that Gary Sanchez that threw a scoreless inning tonight?
Yes sir.
Look at that.
Yeah.
How about that? So he was having fun in this one, and you just flush it and you move on. All right, so also we had a caller that said this offensive issue was prior to the deadline, and I thought it was too. But was Matt Arnold and company going to, were they going to decide on bats? Because that's what most of the feedback we're getting, I would say, is a fair statement on that text line and via our callers, that to win in the playoffs, you got to have the bats. I'm not so sure I fully agree with that. I love pitching and defense. You've known that for years.
Yeah, so did the Braves, and that's why they couldn't finish forever, because their bats never went with the pitching. I mean, you had Maddox and Glavin and Avery and all those guys, and you couldn't get over the hump, because every time they got there, their bats went quiet and they lost.
And they won one World Series. Yes. They did in 95.
Finally, but that was it. They should have won three or four.
Yeah, that was it. And I remember at that time saying, you know what? I'll take all those division titles, Atlanta. Yep. And that's just what the Brewers are doing now.
Exact same thing. It's the exact same thing.
They're going after their fourth consecutive division title. And what would that be, 5 in 6 years?
I think so, yeah.
5 in 6 years.
So we have a lot of negativity over here. The 262, I've seen enough. This team can't hit and won't magically find it. And the pitching is about to run out of gas. This is exactly what teams with power will do to us in the playoffs. It will be a first-round exit. Hashtag DunClub26.
Oh, there it is. Second sighting of the DunClub. We had one a few weeks ago. I don't know. I don't know about that. The Dodgers didn't do that. Brewers held them pretty at bay. Pitching.
Yeah.
The Brewers pitchers held the Dodgers in that NLCS. Yeah, I mean, the one game got away, but they did do a pretty decent job. And the Brewers offense scores a few runs. That turns out a different series. I'm not saying they're going to win that. They would have won that series. But I do believe you have to step up. I'll meet you there. But to say you have to hit home runs to win a World Series, I'm not so sure of that.
From the 917, sorry, I hate to be a Debbie Downer or Nervous Nelly here, but I think we have a case of one team peaking at the right time, the Cubs, and another slumping at the wrong time, our crew. The next week to 10 days will determine a lot, but if positions and records were reversed and the Cubs were where we are at now and we were 4 games behind them, wouldn't you be thinking, hey, man, we can catch these guys? That's Tom in Egypt.
Tom, for sure.
Okay, well,
this thing is going to tighten up. You guys are well aware of this, right?
All right, here, let me...
I said the same thing last year, and I was wrong.
Here, I'm going to help
you. So I'm going to say it again.
I'm going to help you out right here, okay?
It's going to tighten up.
I'm going to make you all feel real good. So this is Evan Altman. He covers the Chicago Cubs down in Chicago. He was on the Score Chicago. We did this in Charlie Sounds of the Today on Wisconsin Sports Daily, talking about the Cubs' chances of catching the Brewers.
Do you believe the Cubs will catch the Brewers in the National League Central?
No, if only because the Brewers just don't stop. The Cubs will gain a game or two, and then the Brewers will just climb right back. And it's one of those where I think the Cubs will gain ground on them. They could theoretically, if they gain a game a week throughout the rest of the season, they'll catch them. But I don't know that that's possible. Just with the Brewers just aren't slowing down. And I think the thing that's really working against the Cubs right now is the fact that the rest of the division has really fallen off. And so those two teams do still have 7 games against one another. That's going to be what does it. And I mean, the Cubs really have to go and win 6 out of 7 to make that happen. Wow. I mean, it's so difficult. Pat Hughes will tell you every time, right? Usually when it comes to the Cardinals, when you think about those two rivals, how often does one really get the better of another over a 7-game stretch?
That's a great point.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah. I will agree on that. That the head-to-heads rarely in a situation like this, in a tightly contested division race and its rivals and things like that, in a 7-game, 2-series, 3 and 4, but in those 7 games, it is rarely domination by either side. You might pick up a game or two, but you're not picking up 4 or 5. So you got to make sure. You know, it was the situation last year where just make sure you win one. Remember that? Was it a 5-game series?
Yes, 5-game series back then, yes.
So, and make sure you get one, and then you win one of the next 4, you're fine. Yeah, and you're all set. So I don't think that they'll make hay there. But, I mean, to pick up a game a week, they just picked up 3 in about 10 days.
So I believe how this goes is August 31st starts the 4-game set at Wrigley. And then they have like, what is it, the Reds? And then after that, they take the Cubs at American Family Field is how the schedule lays out. So, I mean, from that perspective, and that is coming on the heels of playing the Rangers at American Family Field. So it's in Wrigley for four, in Cincy for three, home against the Cubs for three, home against the Reds for three, then to the Pirates for three, to Baltimore for three, to Philly for three, and you end the year in St. Louis for or you end the year at home against the Cardinals for three.
I don't know if that's just...
That's great. The Reds are out of it. The Pirates will be out of it.
That's not a horrible schedule.
Baltimore sucks. Philadelphia will probably still be playing for something, I think. And more than likely, St. Louis will be done. So a lot of these guys will be done.
That's not a bad run.
Not at the end of the year, no.
No, no. But, I mean, I've been saying it all year. The Cubs are a good team. They're a better team than they were last year.
I agree with that. Yeah, I'm good with you on that.
Are the Brewers a better team than they were last year? They're right there, the record says.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if you ask a bunch of Brewer fans that watch every pitch, every game, every inning, they would say, it's not pretty, but they're winning. Overall. Now, these guys that cover the national scene, And you just heard that dude down in Chicago. The Brewers just do what they do. Does he watch every game? Uh-uh.
No, but he just sees them winning on the scoreboard while he's hoping that they lose.
Yep, that's what he sees. And he doesn't see how. He doesn't see, you know, what's going on with the offense. We do. I mean, you've lost Joey Ortiz, Cooper Pratt. Is that such a big thing? I mean, Pratt, maybe a little bit.
It shouldn't be, though. No.
It shouldn't be, right?
No, it shouldn't. Here's one from the Dugout YouTube chat from Boomhawk, who says, we have to remember that we're asking average at best hitters to be great. Terang has a career batting average in the 250s. That's average, not great, says Boomhawk.
But lately, it's been better than that, right? So that's career.
Yeah, he's hitting 269 right now for the season.
Yeah, and what did he hit last year?
Let's see. Last year he hit 288. The year before that, 254. The year before that, 218.
Right. So you go by recent. I think that's how I judge it. I mean, you can go just like the season this year. Is the offense good? Run differential, as I said in the first hour. Run differential, run scored, things like that. Yeah, it's okay. You could point to a bunch of metrics that say they're a decent offense.
If you look at Terang's monthlies, in April he had 265. He had 231 in May. He had 252 in June. Mm-hmm. Then he had a good month, finally. In July he had 309. And now he's hitting 256 this month, which, based on the rest of this team, that's on fire because everybody else is like under 200 for the most part.
The least of their worries is Bryce Terang right now.
Correct. But I'm just saying, with saying he's a career 250s hitter, if you look month by month, I mean, that's still kind of the case.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
he had one month. I mean, I'm not including March for a handful of games.
Seasons of 25 and 26 is what I'm going to go with.
But that's one season.
25 right? In this year. Right.
Right. But again,
which is probably, if you average the two together, you're looking at 275. Take that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying I want to cut him or trade him or anything like that.
No.
But I mean, the guy is right. He's not going to average 300, you know, on a given season. He's not going to be that type of offensive player.
And I'm not going to die on the Bryce Terang sword when it comes to, if you had the choice to sign either Terang or Contreras long term. I'm going all day with Contreras.
With you.
It's not even close for me.
Agreed. Same.
Yeah. And a lot of people say Bryce Terang. You got to sign him long term. That would be great. I wouldn't be disappointed if that happens, believe me. But if I had my choice, it'd be Contreras just because the way he handles those pitchers and young pitchers. Now, we hope he can hit a little bit better, and I believe he will. I believe he will be a better hitter. If you look at the stats right now between him and Christian Yelich, I think he will out-hit Yelly on the way out.
Well, I would assume so, yes. I would assume most of the team will out-hit Yelly on the way out. That's not a big, I mean, that's not a big prediction there. Somebody's going to out-hit Yelich on the way out. Well, I mean, everybody's out-hitting Yelich at this point.
No, but I think Yelich is going to pick it up on the way out.
But you're hoping. This is just hope. Hope and a prayer. That's all. Anybody that says that, it's just hope and a prayer and hope and praying that he finds it. Because that's all you got.
He had it 4 months ago.
Just saying.
Meaning last year.
What?
Meaning last year. You go back to last year, he was outstanding.
That was more than 4 months ago.
Well, no, for baseball months.
Oh, yeah. Well, that can be a lifetime. That can be eons ago. I mean, sometimes guys just hit the wall. I didn't think he hit the wall. But, again, we don't know if he's healthy or not. And that, to me, is the biggest thing. From the 608, I woke up from a nightmare. Yankee John here. Going to bed at 8-1, I can hear Tim now. We're going to have games like this. Brewers are having games like this as the Cubs pass them by with ease. I can hear Sparky now. I'm not worried. Well, you should be. Harris and the Brewers' number two pitcher look like DFA material tonight. What is Pat Murphy doing? Resting Vaughn for the next star, Mr. Zero. Yelich, Contreras, and Mitchell look like high school students waiting for the game to be over so they can drink cheap beer and party at a remote boat landing. Pratt injured and Lara makes the ordinary catch look spectacular while forgetting he needs to hit the baseball instead of just watching it go by. The team in premature coronation looks pathetic, unprofessional, and like Brewers teams of a bygone loser era. I won't hear your responses live. I have to work in the morning. Something the Brewers have forgotten how to do. Try 0-7 on a West Coast trip. Yankees looking better every day.
No, not 0-7. Not you can't go 0-7. You're not going 0-7.
That was a lot of passion and emotion for that long text.
That was.
Yeah.
That was for a team that's 74-46. I mean, just how do you process that? We see this team looking flat as flat can be right now.
They're tired, man. I'm telling you. They're tired.
That's part of it. It is.
Definitely tired.
And the other part of it is,
I mean, you were on the West Coast for a week. You came home for a week, and now you're back out there again for another damn week. This isn't a West Coast trip in June and another one in August.
Without a day off.
It's separated by a week.
Yeah, without a day off in there.
Yes.
Got to reset. Yeah, they need that. Here's the dialogue you're going to hear on both Brewers Radio and Brewers TV. The Brewers can't get to that off day quick enough.
That's right.
You'll hear it.
Get
starting
to Monday.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, you'll hear it. All right. This portion of the program is brought to you by G2 Insurance, your friend in insurance. Running a business is like a championship run. One bad hit can take you out of the game. G2 Insurance Services specializes in keeping your business and reputation protected. They offer tailored solutions for restaurant, professional liability, and workman's comp. They represent top carriers like Erie to find the best combination of coverage and price. Get the defensive line your business deserves. G2 Insurance Services in Brookfield, online at g2ins.com. G2 Insurance, your friend in insurance. It's the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show. Tim Allen, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer talking Brewers baseball. Early Wednesday morning here after an 11-2 loss. You know, the offense doesn't look pretty at times, but they win baseball games. And sometimes you have to take a step back and just look at it that way a little bit. It is frustrating. I fully understand it. Look what the Padres did tonight. When they get the table set, look what happens. They blast a ringing double with two outs and two strikes. They get a grand slam. I mean, the Brewers have had the table set how many times here this year? In fact, we can roll the clock back, and we can go all the way back months this season. And Tommy and I were talking about how painful it is when the Brewers even score runs. You guys see it? I don't say that because it pleases me. I mean, you saw it tonight. A couple of different times, two on and nobody out. And what do they get out of that? A scratch run again. That's frustrating, and I fully get that. But I just in my heart of hearts and baseball knowledge says that those guys can't continue this without having some modicum degree of success. Now, what we can define success, I mean, that can scatter all over the road. But I mean, guys like this, collectively, Bowers and Contreras and Terang and Churio and these guys, they won't be held down long, at least to get back to a baseline.
Yep.
Of average, just even a average or a little above average offense, they'll get under a pretty decent sizable lead in the Central as of a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you were looking at, what, 6.5 and 7. It was just in that holding pattern of 6.5 or 7 games. Then it'd dipple down to 5, and then it'd go right back up to 7. And now, look at us, we're here at 4. So we'll see. But let's do that, and I usually do this about every 6 weeks or so, just a cursory check, because I'm an average guy. Okay, I'm an average guy, batting average guy, well, average too, beside that. But I'm a batting average guy, and so we should just do a gut check on the Brewers' batting averages as of today. So we'll do that after we take a listen to Chase. Chase, you're on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Well, we went from one of the, in Murphy's words, one of the best team wins to a pretty ugly team win.
That's true.
How quickly things can change, right? So, okay. So the the second inning when the Padres, when they put up 5 on us, wasn't there a play that that Bay should have made?
Dropped the ball.
I mean, he dropped the ball. It should have been at least a double play. Most are saying a triple play.
Including Murphy.
So let's just say, you know, in the playoffs, is he playing for us game one?
No.
Probably not.
No.
So, he better not be playing for the Brewers by the end of the week. I mean,
I love you.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, he doesn't belong on a major league roster at this point.
It's a joke.
He doesn't know how to bunt. He has his hands wrapped around the bat.
He had a bunt base hitting a sacrifice bunt yesterday.
I'm done. But baby, right? See you later.
Bye-bye. So I would be giving you a hug right now, Spark, if we were together in the same room. I'm with you 100%. So, okay. So we can all agree that that's a play that should have been made, double, maybe even triple. Okay, whatever. So.
Killing me.
See? Chase, we'll get you back another time for sure.
Killing me.
Turning in to be one of my favorite callers this year. I've got a lot of them.
You have a lot of favorite callers.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. I absolutely do. But, I do think that that does impact a game, a play early. When you win or lose a 3-2 game, there's a lot of things that impact that game. In a game like this, it's just difficult. Now, I'm with you to a degree. If they make that play and it's a triple play out of the inning, maybe momentum switches and, you know, the Brewers, you know, get at Buehler a little bit more than they did. That's possible. But in this one, the more I see this now through 18 innings of baseball in San Diego playing the Padres, at this time, seems like a buzzsaw to me.
Got another person on hold here who I haven't heard from in a long time. Used to be a regular caller. Let's go to Doug in Racine. You're next on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show with Tim Allen. What's up, Doug?
Hey, guys. You guys are keeping me up. I'm working tonight. I got a shift till 6 a.m. So I'm listening and... Hey, Tim, I met you. I told you I'm the guy that watches the games and fast forward. But, you know, the last year, I've watched more baseball than I ever have in my life, because they've been interesting, you know, real exciting. But do you ever think of maybe the hitting's gone downhill since Sal's been gone?
But he wasn't doing that well, but maybe...
No, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the team has gone downhill since he's been gone.
Yeah, maybe he
was. I know he wasn't doing so well back then. I've been watching it and stuff. At least Cheerios come back.
That's what we need. Number 10 back on the
and
field.
And Freelix rehabbing right now. He had he had a hit tonight for the Nashville Sounds. Now, he's not in the field yet because he can't be in the field yet, so he's just DHing. But, I mean, he'll be up here by the end of the month again.
Is he coming back for Lockridge or Lara?
I don't know. Lockridge? But...
We'll find out.
Laura's been having some monster defense, so I've been really impressed with that. Yeah. And hopefully he doesn't hurt himself doing it, but he's trying to impress, and he is impressing in my book.
Yep, I'm with you, Doug.
Where are you working, Doug?
I can't really tell you that.
Yeah, don't get in any trouble. What are you doing?
No bosses are listening, but I'm at home. This is my work from home night, so
yeah. No, you're
just
good.
Sitting at my desk, and I just was listening to you guys, and I didn't hear any callers. I can never get in, but I don't. You know, I haven't called this show in 2 years, but I haven't called Sparky in a while either. But,
I miss you, Doug. Don't be a stranger.
I really enjoy. I'm a 95%er on the after the game. I try to tie in the game ending to when you get on there and say a win. You know.
Yeah.
All right, Doug. So, thanks for the call, bud.
Have a good night, guys.
Yeah, you too, Doug. Great hearing from you,
Doug and Racine. Tim trying to get him in trouble and get him fired from his job. What are we doing?
When the game ends, it's a final and the results are good.
6:08, Bill in Madison. Looks like 2022 all over again when we had Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta, and we had Ozzie Timmons as a hitting coach and couldn't hit a lick. That's from Bill in Madison.
Been known to fire hitting coaches mid-season, and even as late as now, it's been known to happen to fire pitching coaches. Speaking of which, what's the capital of Nevada?
Is it Reno? No.
Reno.
It's Carson.
Carson City. Carson City, baby. Mike Maddox from Carson City, Nevada, was just fired by the LA Angels as pitching coach. The Brewers don't do that. When was the last time a hitting or pitching coach were fired?
During mid-season? The season?
I don't remember it. They just reallocate their position.
Managers during the season.
Or in the offseason, they say, he has stepped away. Or he has accepted another position.
With inside the organization.
Oh, yes. They just don't do that. Maybe they will in this case, Eric Tyson, but who knows? I doubt it. I doubt they will. They just need to pick themselves up. Now, the difference between how certain players react after failure is really fascinating to me. Because there's no one way to do that. I remember Randy Wolf had a bad game, one game, and it was F-bomb city afterwards. I appreciate that. That's just me. Other people don't. Other people, they want this more chill effect, and hey, baseball is a long thing, and you're going to have bad games, you're going to have good games, the Christian Yelich style. Did you see what Contreras said yesterday? Sounded just like Christian Yelich.
Well, they rub off on each other. That's part of it.
It's going to happen. I just keep going out there, do my thing. And, you know, you're going to have good games. You're going to have slumps, et cetera. Well, Kyle Harrison, that's a little bit different today. He was pissed. And so is there a rah-rah speech that's going to break them out of this? Oh, speaking of which, you still don't want an offensive team meeting?
No, I don't see what's going to be accomplished.
It's happening. You know it's happening.
I don't see the point of it.
All right, so predict when it happens.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
But what happens in the meeting is all I want to know.
Like, we don't know. We're not in there.
Magic fairy dust? They're going to dump a bag over Yelich's head and hope it works? Like, what happens?
Go back I want to say it was Yelich, maybe? Didn't he comment after the last meeting?
Maybe.
Let's see if we can find that, because I think he was one that spoke after, we just kind of cleared the air, or it was something like that. It's been known to work. Why wouldn't you try it? That's not like they do it all the time. I could see if you had a team meeting, you know, every time you lose a series, then it's going to become wallpaper and numb. But they don't do it a lot. They've only done it one time this year, and I believe it was an offensive meeting. And afterwards, we just got some things off our chest, I think it was. Something like that. So I'm going to predict, I'm pretty convinced it'll happen. You see these games, guys. I'm not just talking to you, Stevie. I'm talking to our audience. You see these games. The table is set and they can't score. And when they do, you're almost disappointed that they didn't get more. You know, they came back with one run. They're down 5-0. They come back 2 on, nobody out, waiting to just answer back. And they could barely get a run. We're supposed to be happy when your team scores in baseball. Because in the grand scheme of things, it's not basketball or football where there's a bunch of points on the board. Scoring is rare in baseball as a whole. And it's painful. It's just almost like, gee, that was melodramatic. That's a kissing your sister thing. So I don't, you know, again, the offensive meeting, okay, it can't hurt at this
point.
So
the only team meeting I can come up with recently was last August after they lost to the Cubs in like August 20th, 21st, somewhere in that area. That was the last time. And there's comments from Matt Arnold talking about Murph was great about sending a message to the guys that he believes in them. Cubs matchup is what you're going to deal with in a playoff environment. Keep that positive mindset. Keep believing in this group, believing in each other. We're leaning into that. That's the last one I can find. I can't find one from this year.
I'm pretty sure they had a team meeting this year.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I can't find it via Google, one way or the other. So,
all right. Before we get out of here, I do want to get just a gut check on batting averages.
And we can do that next
right
segment.
After the break. Yeah, sure. After the break, we'll get to those batting averages, and just as a cursory glance at. I don't know if you guys are into batting averages. Are you?
I am, but I'm old. I mean, a lot of younger people could care less about it. They care about on base. That's what they
I've adopted
about.
The on base. Yeah. I'm with you on that. But doesn't it go to show if you have a good batting average, you're going to have a good on base percentage?
To a degree. But you could have guys that hit like 230 or 240 and have a really good on base percentage. And then it doesn't matter as much.
No, but the other way around. It's rare that you have a good batting average and a bat on base.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That's rare. We'll check it out and see where these guys are at. They might be better than you think. Stick around. Still a few minutes left here on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show here in the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios. Well, as somebody once said, there'll be better days.
Who was that?
Me. There will be. But I'm not particularly pleased. And again, last night's game, 3-2. Oh, that one got me. 11-2, I'd prefer to lose this way. And now tomorrow, more on that in just a bit. Dustin May.
Edie's Leonard got DFA'd by the Giants. Do they go back down that rabbit hole and essentially bring him back and put him on the big league roster to have him platoon him with David Hamilton instead of Luke Adams?
Would not surprise me. Huh. I mean, you see these other teams manipulating their rosters just like the Brewers do. I think the Brewers are a little bit better at it. than a lot of teams. I mean, pass, clear through waivers, DFA, then sign him, or another team will pick him up, drop him. I think of Bryce Wilson. He was on, what, three different teams this year? Philly, Chicago, and Milwaukee. I mean, it's just what teams do now to circumvent some of the rules that have been set in place. All right, batting averages.
Okay. Bryce Terang, 269.
Take it.
Jackson Chourio, 278.
Take it.
Lockridge, 286.
Take it.
Mitchell, 254.
I will take that.
Bowers, 269.
Check.
Contreras, 261.
I gotta say, it's not as bad as one would think.
That's because he was actually a lot better earlier in the year. Yelich, 231.
No, I'm not taking that.
Gary Sanchez, 224.
Ouch.
Lara, 236.
Come on, Luis. And that was with a hit tonight.
Hamilton, 235. Also with a hit tonight.
I don't want to comment on David Hamilton because people think I'm picking on him.
He's a bench guy.
He's a good bench guy.
He's a great bench guy for a really good team. He's a pinch runner and that type of stuff.
But, and he's not a good starter.
No, I agree.
And I'm rooting for him every time he has a bat in his hand. Trust me, right. I am.
And Andrew Vaughn, 301.
Those averages say they should be a pretty successful offense, don't they?
Yes. And if you look at the numbers, they are. But if you're living in the moment, game to game, like we are here, it doesn't feel like it.
Well, it hasn't. I mean, it hasn't been good the last few months.
A few months? They've been playing for 4 months. What do you mean, so all year it hasn't been good?
Last, I would say, 6 weeks.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, I'll give you that.
That's
sure. Like July and August. Sure.
That's been a really difficult run here. Yep. It's not only been inconsistent, but the numbers have been down. The runners in scoring position, runners left on base. Ooh, that's been tough. Brewer fans know it. And they're watching here. Will they come out of it a little bit? Yeah, I'm convinced they will. How much? That's the question. I mean, I don't know if they're going to, be a juggernaut or not, but I do know they will play better than they've been playing the last month and a half or so.
As we've been talking about, they won 14 in a row last year. They got hot in August. If they get hot, and let's say they roll off 7 or 8 in a row to end the year in September, and they're all cooking going into the playoffs, are we going to be feeling really good about things? Are we going to be like,
timing is right.
Right. Yeah. That's what this is all about, timing it out so you're hot at the right moment. God knows La Russa and Matheny's Cardinals teams did it every damn year, it felt like, Tim, at that point.
One of our texters had said the Cubs are peaking at the right time and the Brewers are slumping at the wrong time.
Right.
I'd flip that around. Now's not the time to be hot, is it?
No.
Don't you want to be hot September 7th?
Yeah, but in the Cubs' case, you have to be hot for the next 2 months in order to win this division if you think that's something you can still get done.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
And we'll find out if they can keep playing at this high of level, because that Cubs can, if the Cubs fall back, as you put it, back to earth, and the Brewers get going here, they're done. I mean, everybody, like Brandon Snide today was like, oh, maybe in a week we're going to flip spots with the Cubs in the standings. Like, they're not flipping spots in a week with the Cubs in the standings. That's absolutely not happening. However, by the time we get to August 31st, if the Brewers are up still by 5 or 6 games to start that 4-game series, the Bucks could bury them and end this division race by the time that's done.
See, here's the difference in the two teams right now. If the Cubs get hot and the Brewers suffer a little bit, it's a dead heat. If the Brewers get hot and the Cubs slump a little bit,
it's done.
Entirely different scenario.
Absolutely.
Than that. So they've got to get things going a little bit. They'll go back at it tomorrow. Well, later today, where we are at the State Fair. You're going to have the leadoff show getting you ready for Game 3. It's a 3:10 first pitch, 2:00 leadoff show. That'll be live from the State Fair. Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show will be live from the State Fair. Looking to get on the air, what, by 6-ish?
6-ish. Could be there till 8.
We will be there till 8. So if you're going to head to the State Fair, love to see you there as the Brewers need to salvage a game in this series. All right, that's going to do it for us. You guys have a great rest of your night, morning, call it what you want. For Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, my name is Tim Allen. There'll be better days, I promise. Dustin May's second start in a Brewers uniform? Offense, let's do your thing. All right, have a great night. We'll see you at the State Fair. And remember, smile, Wisconsin. Bob Uecker is smiling back.